welcome you to Doxodeo Hatfield, a multi-ethnic family on mission, passionate about Jesus, passionate about community, and passionate about serving the city of Tshwane.
Okay, my name is Bosov Grobler. I've just come from the United States of America, and there they can't do Bosov Grobler. So in America, I go by Bob. So now anybody that says Bob, I answer to Bob. It's exciting to be here in our series that I have had to follow online. But I just want to say this, isn't it amazing that exams are now finished? So all parents say, yes, Lord. All those that have written exams say, amen, Lord. Okay, amen, amen. And all of us that have post-traumatic stress syndrome from all of the exams that we wrote in our lives, more than you care to admit, you say amen. Amen. So I understand that it's a sensitive time of the year. You don't know what your marks is maybe yet. You're still waiting for your report card. In our house, I don't call it a report card. I call it an invoice slip. So I want to understand whether the kids use my money effectively. So I am going to just press in on that nightmare. And we are going to start the service with a pop quiz. How's that? Okay, all good. There's a thumbs up. There's it. Okay, pop quiz. We're going to start with that. And the pop quiz, you don't have to worry. If you attended the sermons, you will be fine. And if you didn't attend the sermons, but you did go and you listened to everything online, you will also be fine. If you are now closing your eyes, that light little man there, you are not going to be fine. Okay, relax. Okay, first question. What is the name of the current series that we are in? What is the name of the current series? Anybody? Have you heard the one about? Okay, now you get the second oldest guy in the room to answer. Come on, guys. The young people. Okay. Have you heard the one about? Now, what is the series all about? If that's the series name, what is it about? Parables, stories. So it is the stories that Jesus told to tell us what the kingdom of God is all about. Yes? Okay, so then what is the kingdom of God? It's the place where I go when I'm tired. No, well, it's that end. It is the place that we go, the kingdom of God, when we leave this earth. But it is also that place where God reigns as king, the kingdom of God. And it is the place where his will is fulfilled in my everyday life. That is the kingdom of God. Yes, it's late in the year, but just one amen for the beginning. Amen. Okay, that's good. So now the question is, why did Jesus tell these stories? Why didn't he just say, kingdom of God is this? Why did he tell all of these stories? Now, the reason why I told these stories is because the kingdom of God is just so different to anything that we are used to on earth. It is upside down. It is like confusing if you live on this earth and then you hear these principles of what the kingdom of God is. For example, in a kingdom where victory means death of the king, okay, it is slightly confusing. And then it is not death by the king of a murder or something. It is by public execution. So it was necessary for Jesus, for him to explain what the kingdom of God is, for us to be able to understand with stories, because the kingdom of God is so different to what we are used to. Okay, now today we are going to read the section in the Bible in Matthew 18:10-14. Matthew 18, 10 to 14. Please turn in your textbooks to Matthew 18, 10 to 14. If you forgot it at home and you don't have an electronic version, it is on the screen. We are going to talk about the parable of the wandering sheep today. Let's read together. See to it that you don't despise one of these little ones, because I tell you that in heaven their angels continually view the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If someone has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, won't he leave the 99 on the hillside and go and search for the stray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over that sheep, and listen to this, more than over the 99 that did not go astray. And in the same way, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones perish. Now, this sounds a bit upside down to me. To my business brain, it doesn't necessarily make sense, because in business, you want to scale. You want to make sure that your business gets more clients. You don't want to go from 1 to 99. You want to go to 199. And you put business principles and processes and infrastructure in place to be able to scale. We were in Johannesburg on Thursday, and as we drove back, we had a few teenagers in our car. They were playing hockey. The principal of a teenage boy that played hockey for 2 hours is, they opened the windows as we drive back. It's because of the smell, okay? So let me just be clear. So now we're driving back, and I'm now getting my research done on the sermon that I'm going to preach. And I told them that I'm preaching about this, the wandering sheep, and I said, There's something that Jesus says about he leaves the one and goes off, leaves the 99 and goes after the one. And then these matric boys, they said, the one boy said, that sounds so cool. Leave the 99 to go after the one. Is that in the Bible? I said, yes, my man, it's in the Bible. He said, well, that won't work in South Africa. I'm like, okay, so you said, yeah, well, if you go after the one, if you come back, 50's like been stolen. They're gone. And I said, okay, I understand that. And then the other one says, and if you work with teenagers, you're going after the one, and then the 90 then went to Droomland or somewhere. When you come back, they are not there. So it is a difficult concept for us to understand. But the principle that Jesus talks about here, about the kingdom of God, the one that we want to fix on our hearts today, is the kingdom of God is about the one. It's about the one. If you look at the scripture, it says, he rejoices over that sheep more than over the 99. The kingdom of God is about the one. In life, we have the 80-20 principle. In the kingdom of God, it's the 199 principle. It is so important for us to understand that our gut feel, our intuition, the way that we think about this world is different to the kingdom of God. So, let's talk about the one. Shall we do that? If the kingdom of God is about the one, let's talk about the one. Each and every normal family has one member of that family that is not normal, right? So there is always that one. Yes? There's some whose faces are just going down. Okay. There's always that one. There's always the one that has the absolute ability to entice you into a screaming match. You can be more Zen than Buddha himself. In Afrikaans, we say you are as kalm as a dahavalam. That is, you are just so... I'm not promoting anything. I'm just saying, in some parts of Pretoria, Afrikaans people speak like that. But you are just so calm. And this member of the family has got the ability to draw fighting out of you. Why? Because you put in the fridge your takeaways or your doggy bag of the previous evening and you write your name on it. And as you open it, you write, do not touch. This is mine. If you eat, you will be shot. If you survive, you will be shot twice. And still the next morning you get there, it's gone. There is that one. And then the Blade is not here right now because she's done this to me before. I hide ice cream. Like this, just a nyani one. This ice cream I put in the fridge because I know that there's a time where my spirit is going to need it. That time is not now. But I need to put that away somewhere. And then when my spirit needs it and I go there and it is gone, I know that there is that one in my house. Now, if you think that you, your family doesn't have the one, the likelihood is that you are the one. Okay, so all of our families have that one. In my family, we had that one. My sister had a spiritual gift of droogmaak. She had, she was a naughty one. From grade 7, she ended up just doing very, 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 very bad things. She got into the occult and she got into the Hell's Angels. How she got out, I don't know. She got into drugs. She got into alcohol. She got into so many different hospitals and varieties. She got into trouble so many times. And the thing about the one is they get you to come and help them and then you get into deeper trouble. She had such a torrid time. Our household was a difficult place. We had the one. The one morning, she phoned in hushed tones and she said, "Bosof, please come and get me." Now, at that point in time, she was dating a police officer in the East Rand. She moved in with a police officer in the East Rand. Now she said, "Please come and bring a bucky." Now, I assume that it's one with wheels. I assumed it's not something like takeaway food. And she just put the phone down. So I phoned my brother, and we got into a bucky, and then we drove to the East Rand. And as we walked into the house, she said, "Shh." I'm like, "What now?" And on the couch laid a massive bulk of a man with a pistol on his chest. He was snoring like either he was drugged or he was drunk or something. And she had put sleeping tablets in his drink. Now he's saying there. Now my sister said, "I want to please take my stuff out. He's hitting me. He's abusing me," and so on. Okay, so now, what do you do? You've got this one in your family. So what I did was I took the biggest cast iron pan that I could get in the kitchen and I assumed the baseball position over his head. So he's lying here, I'm standing there. You see, if he's going to wake up, he's not going to shoot. He's going to fall asleep very quickly again. And while I was standing like this, they were carrying out my sister's stuff, put it in the bucky. We got into the car and we drove very, very fast. Difficult to have that one in your house. After that, her life just went into absolute turmoil. That detail I won't share with you. For 30 years, we prayed that she would come to Christ. That was the only way that you could break through all the things that she had laid into her life. Bad things that happened to her that was not her fault. All of these things, we just said the only way that she can get out of all of these things at once is through Christ. We prayed and prayed. My mother and father prayed and prayed. My sister then had kids, 3 kids. She just had such a hard time raising them. And then they went and lived with my aged parents. And it was a chamor. We tried to intervene and we had small children in the house and we said, okay, so we can't take them into our house. So we tried to just keep our parents afloat and standing and so on. It was going into a bad, bad space. And then one day, at a biker's church in Midrand, my sister came to Christ. A miracle. An absolute miracle of my sister after 30 years of praying, coming to Christ. Praise the Lord. A few months after, my mom went into a tooth abscess. Now, my mom gave her life to my sister and these three kids. Her absolute life, everything that she earned as a social worker went, just like the whole paki, just went to look after my sister and her kids. A few months after my sister came to Christ, my mom went in for a tooth abscess operation. Long story short, she passed away at the age of 62. And I was devastated. I just said, Lord, this is like impossible. My sister came to Christ. She has now got her kids back into the house. There is the possibility that my mom now, not having to work and still having the health, that she could now spend time with us, with me and with Blade and with the kids. We were just so excited. And then all of a sudden, at the drop of a hat, a blood clot through the heart takes this amazing angel of intentional love away from us. Yoh, I was angry. I was just so angry at God. I said to him, how and why, Lord? How and why? And at that moment in my life, he ministered to me through this scripture that we are talking about today. He said, Bosov, your mother understood what the kingdom of God is all about. She went after the one. She went after the one. And heaven celebrates her, and heaven rejoices over your sister. And still my heart said, Lord, but what about me? I'm still losing out. I'm so happy about my sister. But I'm devastated about my mother. I'm devastated about what we have lost. And that mindset, I want to step into today, and I want to spend some time together thinking about what the condition is of our hearts. What is the condition of my heart in being the one? What is the condition of my heart of going after the one? And I've just shared with you what the condition of my heart was in being one of the 99. And I believe that that is what God wants to share with us through this parable, so that we can understand what the kingdom of God is all about. Is that all right? Can we go into that direction? Happiness. It feels like I must do another grappie, so that I can feel a bit better. The thing is that the kingdom of God is all about 199, not 80-20. And when we think about the condition of our hearts, Charles Spurgeon, he was a great preacher. They called him the Prince of Preachers, old guy, come out of the UK. And he said that this scripture that we read in Matthew, the scripture about the wandering sheep, exposes the state of our hearts as it relates to the one. He says, he tried to figure out, why don't we go after the one? It's the last thing that Jesus said before he went away. He said, go after the one. Go and teach everybody. Joe spoke about there's a good news of great joy for every one. Good news, great joy for everyone. And then he tried to figure out, why don't we go after the one? And he said that our hearts are exposed. So just think for a moment. In your life, in all the months, 11 months until November, how many times did you go after the one? How many times did God lay somebody on your heart saying, go after that one? And then the question is, how many times did we go after the one? And I'm not here judging. I'm saying that God wants to teach us something about his kingdom. And he needs to expose the state of our hearts. Now, the state of our heart, Spurgeon says in this section, he says,
The reason why we won't go is because we despise, bit of a harsh word, we despise the one. Because it's just one. Okay, so there's 99 others. I need to maybe spend time in church. I need to maybe spend time with the saints of God. Okay, so there are other people. There are 99, but I despise the one because he's one. Or I despise the one because he is little.
It's like a nobody, you know. The world is not going to change if this person, you know, it's a small person.
Or I despise the one because he or she is still in sin. If they can just leave that, those drugs, if they can just leave the pornography, if they can just leave that relationship with that I've told them so many times that are bad, then I will go after them. I've said my piece. I despise the one because they are still in sin. And he says, that is the state of my human heart. Now, I want to expose you to the shortest book that I've ever read. Small book. It's called The Freedom of Forgetfulness that Tim Keller wrote in 2012. I don't know, maybe there's even 40 pages, don't know. And he helps us to understand the state of the human ego, the human heart, the state of the human ego in the world. And then he calls us in the kingdom of God to the nature of a godly ego in the kingdom of God. So that's the journey that we have to go on. If you're sitting here and you're saying, I am that one. If you're sitting here and you're saying, I am somebody that needs to go after the one, but if I reflect on 2024, I spend more time with the 99. As I reflect on 2024, I spend more time after my calling and what God wants for me, and I did not spend my time going after the one. If that is you, if you are the one, and you've just said, I am too sinful to be able to even think that God has got grace for me and he can change my life forever. I am the one. If that's you, then God wants to show you how your human ego, the nature of your human ego can be transformed into a godly ego. And similarly for you that's sitting here and saying, there is that one, but I, in the whole of 2024, I have not gone after them. And the way that he describes it is he uses scripture and he says in 1 Corinthians 3:22-23, he goes with Paul as he writes to the church in Corinth, and he says the following, verse 21. So let no one boast. Let no one boast in human leaders, for everything is yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world of life or the world of death or things present or things to come, everything is yours and you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to you. So on the one side, he says, do not boast. He talks about the ego. And on the other side, at the end of this little passage, he then talks about Christ. Now, the word that he uses here in boast is a word that only Paul uses in the scriptures. So when people talk about the human ego, when they talk about, for example, pride, they use a Greek word, and I can't speak Greek, and Taiki will correct my pronunciation, so I'm not going to go there, but it translates into English into hubris. So hubris is really that pride, I am better than most. Okay. He uses a different word here, and the word that he used in the boast or human ego or pride context is to be swollen or bloated beyond your original size, your appropriate size. So small or swollen or bloated beyond the original size. So it's, for example, take a liver. So a liver, when healthy, has got amazing work to do. But when that liver gets ill for whatever reason, through sickness or things that you put into your body, then that liver expands. They call it a fatty liver. It expands. And when it expands, it stops doing the job that it's supposed to do. And when bad things happen and, you know, you go, maybe you get jaundice, yellow in your face and what. So there's a lot of bad things happen. If that goes on for long enough, then the liver will contract and it will become hardened because now it is just so sick that it is unable to operate. So when he uses that term of do not boast, he's trying to identify the state of the human ego of being bloated or swollen beyond what is appropriate and its original size. So what he says is the state of your heart as you are sitting here, if you are the one, the state of your heart, if you're sitting here and you have to go after the one, that there's two default settings. One, self-love. Self-love. So I think that I am Superman. And it is an overestimation of who God made me to be. An overestimation. Or you're sitting here and you're saying, I am just not worth it. I've just done so many bad things. So the second default setting is self-hate or self-loathing. An underestimation of who God has made you to be. Does that resonate? The state of the human ego? The reason why I don't go is because I'm waiting for that person to become a Superman before I go after them. I want them to be more than what they are able to be at that point in time. Or I am a Superman or a Superwoman. You know, I can't go and speak with these people. I mean, they just need to clean up first before I can go. Or maybe you're saying, I am just so bad. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand how many times I have done it. You don't understand what other people have done to me. And the state of our hearts keep us from being the one that is saved by Christ or going after those that need Christ so desperately. But then he goes further and he says, how do we journey from there? And he positions the freedom of self-forgetfulness. He writes the following in 1 Corinthians 4. A person should think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and managers of the mysteries of God. In this regard, it is required that managers be found faithful. And then verse 3, it is of little importance to me that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself, for I am not conscious of anything against myself, but I am not justified by this. And then verse 5, so don't judge anything prematurely before the Lord comes, who will both bring to light what is hidden in darkness and reveal, listen to this, the intentions of the heart. Paul says the following, if you want to journey from that place where you say, I don't deserve God, or you want to journey from the place that actually says, they don't deserve God, for that default setting that you have in your heart, and I'm being very blunt here, it's difficult to accept that maybe what I've been saying is they don't deserve God. It's a harsh statement, and this harsh statement can have you close up. Please, Lord, don't let us close up. I shared with you in like the most difficult of circumstances in my life where I was honest with God and I said to him, but Lord, what about me? And maybe that's you today and you say, but Lord, I'm struggling. I'm just trying to survive here. What about me? And the Lord wants to lovingly, not judgingly, Lord wants to come lovingly and just say to you, I want to help you to understand the kingdom of God. And I want to take your human ego and I want to transform that into a godly ego. And the way you do that away from the default settings is the default setting is self-love, self-hate. The godly ego is self forgetfulness. What does that mean? Paul says, I don't care what you think about my sin or my achievements. Don't care. Why? Because it doesn't determine my identity in Christ. Then he goes further and he says, I don't care what I think about my worst sins. Now, this guy killed a lot of people. He's a murderer. A murderer says, I don't care what other people think. I don't care what I think. My worst sin does not determine my identity. My best achievements, he wrote big parts of the Bible. He could see visions. He was like an Iron Man of Christianity. And he says, my achievements, there's nothing of my best achievements or aggregation of achievements that can make me or determine my identity in Christ. He says, the only thing that determines my identity in Christ is what? Is Christ. And maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, I am the one. And I don't think that Christ will have me because of all of these things. The Lord is saying to you today, you are that diamond. Not in the rough. You are that diamond. You don't have to be a superman. You don't have to be the superwoman. In Christ, I have made you as beautiful and as strong as that diamond. If you're sitting here and you know that you know that you know that there's somebody that you have been called to go after, and it's not difficult to go after the one. It is food, friendship, and share your faith. Not pointing your finger down somebody's nose or face or eyes. No, just spending time with them. And this is a time where diets are out. Ne? This is Christmas. Food, sharing your life with them, and from a point of friendship, sharing your faith. It's not rocket science. That's what Jesus taught us. That's the way that he went. He ate with sinners. He shared their life, their experiences, his life, and he shared who he was. I want to close with the following statement. That one. What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? It's a world where you find your value and worth not in your worst sin or your biggest achievements. The kingdom of God is where you find your value and worth in Christ. You don't have to be a superman. The one doesn't have to be a superman. You have been made in the image of Christ. What he wants to do, he wants to set you up as the jewel of his crown. He wants to position you in Africa, in your job, in your place of work, in your family, as a mother, as a father, as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, as a brother, as a sister. He wants to position you so that you can shine and show the world what the kingdom of God looks like. Amen. This is God's heart for you. This is God's heart for the one that you've been pining over for the last 25 minutes. And we want to give an opportunity this morning, as we are just going to play some music in the background. There are at the back on the left, or your left, my right, you can see a lot of cards on that wall. The names written on that card on red that are the one. We want to invite you, if you've already written a name on a card and that name is up there, we want to invite you to go and to pray over that name, to pray over the strategies that God is calling you towards, on how are you going to invite them for a coffee? What are you going to say over the phone when you all of a sudden phone and say, coffee, cappuccino, flat white, whatever? If there is somebody that God has placed on your heart that you believe that you should write their name on that card, that is the commitment that you will fight the nature of the default setting of the human ego. And you will, in your quiet time, just ask God, implore God to help you towards self-forgetfulness. Please go, and the cards are right at the back there. Write the person's name on both sides. Trust God for the green side of it. And then if you are sitting here and you are the one, if you are the one, I want to invite you to take a card, write your name on both sides, bring it with you, come and sit down, and as we come back, we are going to pray with you. Okay.